Let's pray. Father, we celebrate you today. We worship you, and because we worship you, we worship life. You are sovereign, God. You are sovereign over life and death. But God, I'm asking you today to breathe fresh life into us. God, somehow, somewhere, someplace this week, the world, the flesh, or the devil, although I think we give him a little too much credit most days, stole, did a little killing, maybe did a little destroying. So God, I'm asking you today, will you redeem that for us in these next few moments, maybe through a nap this afternoon, maybe through just some quiet time, maybe through some time with conversation with family or friends this afternoon. Will you restore that for us today, Father? Because you're a God who restores faith. Your word says you're a repairer of broken walls. And God, I looked in the mirror and there's some new cracks for me on the wall. But God, I know that you still have a lot of life left for me. And I praise you and I honor you. And I pray, God, we'd honor you with the life that you've breathed into us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we started a sermon series entitled The Journey. And we're going to continue that this morning. As we look at the journey, last week I would say Dusty had some of you share some testimonies about moments in your life. And this week, as I continue this series on the journey, we're going to look at some more moments on our journey of life. But in particular, a couple specific moments. We're going to be looking at baptism and communion. And I know that for most of us, these are acts that we've done once, maybe baptism even more than once. You felt like you need to do it again. That's cool. We'll talk about that a little bit. But also communion is one of those things that we do regularly here throughout the year. And I want to invite you to something this morning. I want to invite you with something that our culture struggles with a lot. And I think that is this. To celebrate these moments in our lives, to celebrate in a little while together that we have a risen Savior that is alive and sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. Why? Because He cares, because He loves, and He's gone to prepare a place for us so we can join Him. And that should be a great adventure in and of itself. Why do we spend so much time trying to figure out something that God never intended for us to figure out? I don't know what it looks like. I know about this much about what heaven may be like, but I know that He's there for me to experience. And when I'm experiencing Him on this side of heaven, you know what? I'm not really worried about the details, are you? I want to experience the living God this morning. I invite you to do that. On March 30th of this year, Kathy and I will be married 28 years. Okay? And although we did a ceremony one time, that I stepped on her dress as we were leaving and it ripped. Yeah, for real. It's almost a disaster. We still embrace and love and enjoy the journey of our marriage. There was a moment where we said, I do forever and ever and ever. But the impact of those words still impact and resonate in our lives today. And God did a great work that we're just joining Him in through that moment. Our lives are comprised of moments. Are you willing to embrace the moment of the day? We celebrate certain things in our lives. I'm telling you, there's lots of moments we just run right past. When's the last time you ran into a friend at a store and you had a conversation and you're just going through the day instead of saying, thank you, God, for that conversation. Thank you, God, that someone delivered an uplifting word to me. Thank you, God, that you sent somebody to be there for me in a moment when I need it. That's celebrating a moment. On the journey, we're celebrating a moment. And it begins this morning as we look at baptism. Baptism is God instituted that year many, many, many years ago. And I know that most of you have been baptized. But what concerns me as I get older and run into a lot of Christians in our culture, what I believe really happened for many Christians, they just got wet. I'm not joking. I'm dead serious. Why is that? Because, see, what's the significance of baptism? We begin with a very simple point. It's a move from death to life. It is not a move where we do something just to say we did it. It's a move from death to life. I love what it says in Colossians, the Message version. Going under the water was burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as He did Christ when you were stuck in your old sin-dead life. You are incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. that old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. You should be saying amen, because he was talking about you and he was talking about me. The old, we moved from death, no hope, hopeless, no capacity to love, no capacity to experience love from a God who does love us and a divine appointment. See, that was a moment. And for those who've experienced that moment, we do it here, we do it at the beach, we've done it at pools, we've done it all over the place. Around the world right now at this very moment, there's somebody being baptized in secret, because if they're found out, they'll be arrested. But it's worth the price to move from death to life and celebrate it. It's a moment to celebrate. What is the significance of baptism? From death to life. The next point about it, it's a brand new life. Look what Paul says to the church in Rome through Romans. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that what? Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. We too may have a new life. It's a brand new life. Not doing business as usual. When you've been around for our baptisms, those who help us, those who witness, what do we always say? Buried Him with death and raised to newness of life. The old is gone, the new is come. And we celebrate that life. It's a brand new life. We don't have to succumb to lies. We don't have to succumb to the trauma, the noise in our lives. It's a moment that says, from this point forward, I'm under new ownership. And that ownership is life, not death. I am under a new regime in my life. I have turned over control. The next significance of baptism is this. It's a new identity and a new family. It says in 1 Corinthians, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. You notice a theme there? One body, one Holy Spirit, one God the Father, and one Savior. We don't have to wonder, did we pick the right avenue? Did we pick the right fork in the road? No, we picked the fork that is life. It's a moment to celebrate. It's a moment to honor. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. At our congregation, baptism is an outward symbol of an inward transaction. So when you have decided that you're willing to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, bam, salvation occurs at that moment. And then we move to a proclamation. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But I want you to think for a second this morning. If you could go back, some of you a while, some of you have been a while, I admit that, but some of you it's not been that long, back to that moment when you were baptized. And by the way, how many of you have been baptized in and through our church? Okay, all right, that's pretty cool. How many of you were baptized at the beach? Okay, all right, cool. I forgot about some of you being baptized at the beach. All right, did we hold you under long enough? Uh-oh. Well, sounds like Dusty needed to do a testimony this morning. Apparently not, yeah. Okay, I don't disagree with you, Lori. So, but a new identity. And I know there's a lot to each one of these points this morning. I fully embrace that. But the significance of it is, should not ever be lost. The freshness of it, the newness of it, the impactfulness of it. God does not desire that we ever lose it. You may not remember the date. You may not remember the where. You may not even remember the who. But there should have been an impact on your life. This is, it was significant. It's a moment I love talking about. Let me tell you about my baptism. Let me tell you about when I proclaimed publicly that Jesus was Lord of my life. The significance of it should be an eternal impact, right on going. There should be a freshness in your voice when you speak about it. Because it's life. If it's death, you can count the cracks in the sidewalk. But when you speak about life, you should look people in the eye and say, let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about my life. Let me tell you about what He's up to, not what He just did, but what He is doing. It should be life. So what's the significance of it? We got a new life, we got a new identity, and we're part of a new family. Now, we may not always get along perfectly, but then, you know what? We're still moving in the same direction. Hopefully, we're rowing the same way, coming together, like-mindedness, praying together, celebrating, worshiping. What an awesome time of worship we just experienced. I challenge you today, why don't you have an attitude of worship the rest of the day? So you go out here and somebody gets in your way. Somebody says something you don't like. You're going to say, I'm going to step back. And you know what my mindset's going to be? I'm going to take a mindset of worship because I have experienced life. Significance of baptism. And the next part of it is why be baptized? Well, if we said nothing else today, to be obedient to the example of Jesus, good enough. He is the one we're following, so whatever example He sets or sat back then, I think is worth following today. So we go back 2,000 years ago. He crossed paths with a guy named John the Baptist. And it says in Matthew chapter 3, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Do you know something? Jesus made an effort to have a moment. Sometimes moments happen to us, but sometimes we just got to wake up with intentionality and say, the day will not conquer me. I'm going to live like more than a conqueror. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, on Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. I don't have time to walk around and give you testimonies, but I guarantee you there's some of you in here that when you came up out of the water, you felt different. And although there may not have been a spirit descending you like a dove, you experienced something anew because you were willing to do something in public. You didn't want to hide your new identity. You didn't want to hide your new right standing with a living God. So we do it because Jesus set the example. He did it by identifying with us. Think about something. He willingly did something so He could identify with us again in all ways, through all forms. He willingly submitted Himself to baptism. He even let John, a family member, do it. I can only imagine the look on John's face when Jesus said, you got to baptize me. I'd have been looking around going, me? Me? Yeah, you. Because I need to identify in all aspects. He identifies with us in all aspects, even to the point of obedience, to a level that sometimes we may not understand. To be obedient to the example of Jesus. Why be baptized? The next one? Why be baptized? To publicly celebrate and declare a new identity. Then he said, go into the world. Jesus speaking to the disciples. He was getting ready to check out, go back up to heaven. Then he said, go into the world, go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. If you don't think the gospel is kind of like good news, bad news, light, darkness, life, death, I love the way the message puts it. Either you're with me or you're not with me. But if you're not with me, it's not going to be pretty. But go and proclaim. That's one of the beauties of us doing public baptisms, is we're proclaiming in public. After people get over at the beach that we've had a shark attack, all right, and they walk up and they realize, oh man, no one's got shark attack. What are these people doing? I guarantee you, if we had time, many of you have answered that question for people, haven't you? What are y'all doing? What are you doing out there? We're publicly declaring an inward transaction that may have happened years before, by the way. May have not happened immediately right then. But Jesus, God the Father, challenges us right here. Go into the world and declare whose you are. That's why we ask that people say it out loud. Who's Lord of your life? Jesus. The Messiah. He's Lord of life. He's King of the hill. He's running my life now. And we're going to say it out loud. And one of the other things I love about declaring it publicly in voice and action is this. Evil has to recognize that we are no longer, we're going to worship that form in any form. That we're now worshiping the one true living God, Jesus the Christ. And so evil also has to take notice. A new identity. Publicly celebrate and declare a new identity. Then the next one. Who should be baptized? Those who have trusted Jesus as their Savior. Those who accepted the message. They were baptized, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. This was after a great eloquent sermon, right after Pentecost. A whole bunch of people were baptized. I think that would be awesome. I have that, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't really understand this bucket list stuff. I really don't. I don't get it. I don't have a wish list, a bucket list. You know, I just wake up and say, God, where do you need me today? And a lot of times then we argue. Okay? Like y'all don't argue with God? Huh? You know, God used me today, but here's some stipulations. Okay? Who should be baptized? Those who have trusted in Jesus as their Savior, because we want to come in alignment with what God has been doing. See, He's been wooing you, He's been drawing you, He's been speaking to you. And we want to acknowledge that. through a public declaration, those who have trusted Jesus as their Savior, confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that I'm moving from death to life. I'm moving from lies to truth. I'm moving from being checked out to being checked in. In fact, I think there was a word for somebody here today. You need to come to God today with a desperation. That word has been on my heart ever since Dusty asked me to do this sermon Tuesday afternoon. There's somebody here today that needs to embrace the word that God is speaking to you about coming to Him with a desperation. Hands out, desperate for Him. Desperate for Him today. So those who should be baptized, we're on a journey. It's a moment that should have a lasting impact. It may have taken 20 seconds, 30 seconds, maybe a minute if we wanted to see how long you could hold your breath. Usually at the beach, our biggest challenge is this. Can we find the moment between the waves that doesn't knock somebody over? But what an awesome moment it is. Your life changed in a moment by confessing that Jesus is Lord. And then through an outward public declaration called baptism. Baptism in itself is immersed. We're not just immersed in water, we're immersed in the living Christ, the Holy Spirit. We're immersed in the Holy Spirit. We're immersed forever and ever and ever. Amen? And that should excite you because there are days where we may not feel like it, but the fact is we are His and our faith relies, we rely upon that faith to know that we have proclaimed the truth in the truth. You see, this baptism thing, it's about a relationship with a person. And a personal relationship with Him is impactful for eternity. The tough part is this, a relationship without Him is also impactful throughout eternity. And that's tough. That should motivate us. That's when we look at somebody in the eye and we find out through building a relationship, through intentionality, through lifestyle evangelism, are they with Jesus? Are they with Jesus? Lifestyle, living it, seeing how you handle life. So I ask you today, before I go to the next one, have you trusted Jesus as Savior? Have you confessed with your mouth? Do you believe in the heart? He's the one true living Son of God. Do I ask you to understand everything? No, because I don't understand everything. I'm still enjoying the moment of discovery. Are you enjoying the moment of discovering more about Him? I'd encourage you to embrace that today. Enjoy the moment of discovering more of how God is loving on you, will love you, and will continue to love you. Enjoy that moment. But have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? I mean, do you know? Are you comfortable? And maybe you have or you haven't done the public declaration. Like I said to you earlier, I'm convinced there's a lot of people sitting in churches across America today, they just got wet. They just took a free bath. Okay? That's all. That's really what they did. They just took a free bath. And I can't look into their heart, but I can tell you this much. When I hear them talk and I see their actions, I'm struggling. Okay? I'll leave the eternal judgment up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but I'm struggling. So this morning, I would invite you to think about your place with Jesus. And at the end, because I'm going to talk about communion now, at the end, we're going to come back to that. So I want you to think about that for a second. What is God saying to you today about baptism? Maybe you've accepted Him and you've never taken the public declaration serious until now. Maybe you need to talk to somebody today about doing this publicly. I want to publicly declare, Jesus is Lord of my life. Maybe you've been baptized in the past, but you just kind of did it out of a pressure. You really didn't understand it. You just did it because everybody else was doing it. Maybe today is to do it for the heart transaction time. Okay? So I encourage you to be thinking about that. Who do you need to talk to? How do you need to respond about baptism in your own life? Confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart. So that is one thing as we're on this journey today, that moment of baptism. And then we move to the next one, communion. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't have time to talk to you about today that baptism and communion have in common. Okay? Baptism is an identification act. Communion is an identification act. We're getting ready to partake in the Lord's Supper, and we're identifying with Him. We're identifying ourselves with Him, that we're still in great need for Him. This week, if you were to honestly look back at this week, how many decisions would you like to have a do-over? Don't raise your hand. I'm not going to call on you. You don't have to testify. There's been a couple times that I've said some words that aren't bad. They just weren't encouraging words. I was like, oh, man, wish I had that one back. Why didn't I do that differently? There was a moment that was not life-giving. There was a moment that was death imparting. So this morning, one of the great things about communion is we get to examine ourselves. We get to look in the mirror, spiritually speaking, and say, God, I want to join you in an intimate level that I have yet to experience. And we got to look at our lives and say, God, where am I saying no thank you? God, you're close enough. God, this moment here you're offering me, I'm good. God, where do I need to confess my sin to you? Because we look at this scripture. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. I'm going to come down here so I can actually read it and demonstrate it for you. Because on the night that Jesus says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on you," the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took some bread. And when He had given thanks, because Jesus led with a grateful heart. I want you to hear what I just said. Jesus led with a grateful heart. He led with a grateful heart when opportunities seemed like they were inconvenient. He still was thankful. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. "This is my body," He said, "which is for you, for me, for us, for we. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, you know why we would really struggle with this if we were doing it for real? In the light of the supper, the Lord's Supper, it takes hours. What if you walked in this evening, say about 5 o'clock, and you handed your phone over and you couldn't check it till the next morning? No social media, no TV, nothing, no electronic devices. And the only person you could talk to are the people you could talk to, your family members, for the rest of the evening until the next day. Because that's what happened during this time. They just conversed with one another. Just talking, sharing life together. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup and He said, "This is my cup, a new covenant, the blood poured out for you. And when you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of Jesus. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup." How hungry are you for intimacy with God this morning? How desirous are you to say, "I don't have to understand everything, but I want to be closer. I need to be as close to Him as possible. I am desperate for Him." I'm going to give you three things to think about. First one is this. When we take communion in just a few moments, I'd encourage you to be thinking about something starting right now. I'm going to give you some time to examine yourself. And before you tell you this, will you look back with me today at gratitude? Reminding ourselves of what He has done and is doing and is continuing to do. He's not finished. And we should be praising Him that He is not finished. For oneness with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the body. Realization of our significance. We look back in gratitude and saying this act was a conveyance of significance to Him. He says to the disciples, "You are significant." He says in the high priest prayer, the heavenly prayer, in John, He says, "I no longer call you servants, you are called friends." In essence, this is what He's saying, "I want you to be as close to me as possible. I desire to be close to you as possible. I desire for when you move, you think you bump into the living Christ. That when you hear His voice, it's unmistakable." I told you earlier that Kathy and I will be married a long time on March 30th, 28 years. Okay? Do you think I can pick her voice out in a crowd? Do you think I know what the looks mean? Now I should walk around and get some testimonies. Do you think I have to know what she means when she says something like, "What do you want to do?" Let me tell you something. Kathy and I can spend an hour discussing where we're eating and still eat at home, eat peanut butter at home. But I'm thankful for every moment. Looking back with gratitude. I say this almost every time we do communion. John, you can go to the next one. Is this. I wonder if the disciples had fully realized this moment that I just read to you from 1 Corinthians that's found in the Gospels, if they fully knew that in just the next few hours they weren't going to have Him around, if their attitudes had been different. If they'd have said, "Can we stay a little longer? Can we talk a little bit more? Can I ask you a few more questions? I don't want you to go." Looking inside with humility. All you can control is your attitude as you take communion. He paid the price for your identification with Him. Sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God says, until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. I didn't manipulate God to do something for me, so I don't have to manipulate Him to keep Him doing something for me. He offered Himself to me, and I received Him. All you can control is your attitude as you take communion. He paid the price for your identification with Him, for oneness with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the body. So as you continue to look inward this morning, are you willing to do it with a humble heart that says, I couldn't have done it. Couldn't do it at all. Maybe you thought you could. Maybe you had a good day where you're in a really good mood and you thought, I got it, God. And then you realize, wait a second, I need to humble myself before the living God. Because if He doesn't breathe life on me, I'm dead. I need Him. I need a fresh breath of God today. And the last one, looking forward to His second coming. We're proclaiming what's going to happen. We're proclaiming what He did do, what He is doing, and what He's going to do. Because He's coming back one day. He's coming back one day. And it's exciting. It's exciting. Because we're joining Him in this. And we're joining Him. But a great step for you to think about today is Jesus Lord of your life? Have you confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart? Jesus, I need you. I need a Savior. And then you would think about baptism, that outward proclamation that I'm going from death to life. And then in just a moment, we're going to come and we're going to spend some time examining ourselves. And I got three questions for you to examine yourself with today. What is God saying to you about baptism? How is God offering a renewal in your life today? And the last one, I think God told me to put this because He wanted me to spend a long time on it, because I've looked at it for like 72 hours. Where in your life do you need to begin to cooperate with God or begin cooperating with God? Where in your life? I use this word a lot, alignment. But this is a cooperation. It's a submission to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where in your life do you need to do that? Not playing games, not pretending, and not just getting wet. It's life or death. So I'm going to begin to pray for us and give you some time to think about these things. And after you do that, I'm going to call Dusty and Audrey and Rick Regina up here. I'll serve them communion. And if you're interested, after we do communion, we'll probably have a little ministry time. You can come back to the altar. You can talk to one of us. But are you willing to join Him regardless of what it costs you? Because it cost Him everything for you to have the choice to join Him. Father, just right now, the hearts that might be stirring about the Jesus Lord and Savior, I lay that before you. And if that's something that's stirring on your heart today, there's no formula. There's no words. In fact, Jesus is inviting you, come, follow me. Come, join me. Come, experience me. You may know the answers to the questions, biblically speaking. You may know the answers to what I just said. But can you tell me that you have an authentic, life-giving experience with the living Christ, Jesus, the Messiah, to experience God the Father? Can you say that honestly today? Father, these people that might be with that, I pray against the lies they're battling, the fears that they're battling, and I pray for the truth just to permeate their thoughts and their minds. And God, just stir in their hearts right now. And it's as simple as this. God, I trust You. Jesus, I trust You. I'm willing to come and see. I'm willing to come and follow. I'm willing to come and check You out. And Father, as we begin to think about our hearts as we prepare for the Lord's time together at the table, Father, thank You just never gets it done. Gratitude overwhelms me when I think about You and I. Father, I confess pride and arrogance. God, I pray we come to the table today on Your terms, not ours. God, as we are proclaiming the good news, as we're proclaiming the second coming of Christ, as we're proclaiming to a dying, lost world that is searching and seeking. Father, I don't understand every detail of Your plan, Your movements, Your callings, Your purposes. But God, all I'm asking is an inward, supernatural, divine strength to trust You for the next step. What is God saying to you? He may not be the loudest voice in your life at this moment, but I guarantee you something. You have the capacity to discern it because God makes His voice plain. And if you need help with that, then don't leave here without getting somebody to pray with you about it. Today's the day we get to make choices. Tomorrow may never get here. This is a moment to celebrate Jesus. A moment to celebrate life. A moment to celebrate identity that's in Christ through Him. God, I asked You earlier to restore and redeem, to breathe life on us. I'm going to keep asking that. Will You breathe life on us? We need You. We need You, Father. There is no other. If we've tried something else so that we need to confess. I pray we do that, Father. What are the idols in our lives? What have we set before you? May not look like an idol, but you'd call it an idol. If there's something else you want us to pray about, a lot of in this place, we're not really leaving to go anywhere for a while. But, you know, don't hesitate to think at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't say, hey, remember when you said God was stern? Embrace that time too. But Dusty, Rick, and I, a lot of others are standing around for the leaders meeting. You can still seek us out and pray with us about what God's stirring in your hearts for today. I stress to you again today, God's breathing life into us. He's breathing on us something fresh. Enjoy and embrace that, okay? You got your cards, your envelopes, you want to bring those and put them in the basket, you can do that this time. Will you pray with me? Father, your goodness doesn't know limits, doesn't know boundaries. It's not constrained by my whims or moods or whatever else. It is good to know that you are love and I'm created to love and to be loved. And I pray that that would resonate with us today, church. That because God is love and we're creating His image, that means we are created to love and be loved. And God, I pray today we will not bow to circumstances. We will not bow to moods. And we will not bow to lies, nor the world, the flesh, the devil. And we will not bow to the deception that our world likes to put before us. God, we embrace you, the truth. We embrace the living God. It's not an idea. It's not a religion. We embrace the one true living God. And we praise you and we do say hallelujah. Now protect our hearts and minds as we go from this place, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.